Hello and welcome to a breaking news episode of Haaretz Weekly. I'm Simon Spangin. Joining me to discuss the deadly escalation between Israel and Palestinian factions in the Gaza Strip, and perhaps more worryingly, inside Israel itself, I'm joined by Haaretz's Anshul Pfeffer. And listener, apologies for any issues with the sound quality. We are recording this episode from our respective homes, having been instructed by Haaretz management to remain close to our bomb shelters. How's it going, Anshul? Did you get any sleep last night?
A few hours. How are you, Simon?
Intermittent sleep with sirens going off every so often. Anshul, close to 1,000 rockets have been fired at Israel, killing at least 6 people. And Israel's carried out hundreds of airstrikes on Gaza, killing at least 43, including 13 children. How did we get from what Israel referred to as a real estate dispute in Jerusalem to what looks very much like war?
Well, let's go back to Monday evening when all the focus was on Jerusalem and the events and the Al-Aqsa, Damascus Gate, Sheikh Jarrah, the Jerusalem Day Flags March. And it all seemed to be happening in those few flashpoints within and around East Jerusalem. And that was what it was. And then all of a sudden, just a couple of minutes before 6 in the evening, I was standing there when the flag parade was about to march on its changed route towards Jaffa Gate, and suddenly the sirens were heard. And I think at that moment, many of the concepts of the Israeli security establishment crumbled, because nobody expected Hamas to go all the way with a rocket salvo towards Jerusalem. And afterwards, everything we've seen in the past day and a half, almost 48 hours by now. And I think that there were a lot of calculations here which seem to have been wrong about Hamas being deterred, about Hamas's political leader in Gaza, Yahya Sinwar, being more interested in taking his movement to diplomatic or political avenues and keeping the armed struggle aspect of what Hamas does as a sort of backup, but not its main strategy in the next period, at least. All that changed very, very quickly. And now we're in a totally new situation.
Hamas issued a warning, right? It gave Israel a deadline to withdraw from the flashpoint places in Jerusalem. Did no one take that seriously?
I think it was taken seriously. The fact that more or less at the same time, the Prime Minister Netanyahu decided to shift the route of the march. And there were also some changes in deployment of police forces in Jerusalem at the time, seemed to indicate that they were at that point concerned about what Hamas might do. But you know, that was a warning of an hour or so. It wasn't something that, you know, people who spend their time looking at Hamas for a living expected to happen.
And in the meantime, the violence in Jerusalem has spread across Israel.
Yeah, and strangely enough, Jerusalem was a bit more calm over the last day and a half. Yes, probably the us worrying, if not even more worrying than the Gaza escalation, is the fact that in dozens of places across Israel, in what we call mixed towns of Arabs and Jews, and in just areas where Arab citizens of Israel live, there's been countless outbreaks of violence, stoning of cars in places like Lodz and Akko. There's also been attacks on Jewish neighborhoods and synagogues, on businesses. In a few places also, we saw some groups of Jewish vigilantes striking back. That was in Ramleh. We saw the Arab cars being stoned. This is something also that people really haven't expected. That we, you know, just don't forget, we were talking over the last few weeks of a new government being formed in Israel, which for the first time, at least one Arab party would either be represented or would have some kind of close confidence and supply agreement with the new government. And you know, we've been talking about how people are looking differently at the integration of Arab-Israeli citizens, and suddenly this happens. Now, obviously, the people who were out on the streets attacking cars and synagogues do not in any way reflect the majority of Arab Israelis. But you know, this is something that has set these relations back, no question.
It took the Israeli government, such as it is, a while to respond, even verbally, to what was going on. Has there been any movement on that front?
Well, once again, this is another concept that was shattered overnight. The police presence in places like Lod was certainly not sufficient to deal with all the places where there was violence. There was a confrontation between neighbors, basically between Arabs and Jews in one of the neighborhoods of Lod, and one of the Arab protesters was killed. The details are still contested, whether there were a group who were coming to try and cause some damage to the Jewish neighborhood. There were claims that they were setting trees alight next to the buildings. What exactly happened there is still being investigated. But I've spoken to people who were there, and there were no police on the spot. The police were elsewhere. There were not sufficient forces within Lod and in other places. The police should have been on alert.
And now that a state of emergency has been declared, Angel, are there more forces on the street? Is that going to calm things down a little bit?
So the state of emergency also gives police certain powers to impose a curfew and to arrest people that they don't usually have. And the main change overnight is the deployment of border police units. Border police units, which were previously positioned in the West Bank and have been replaced now by regular army units and returned to the police, under police command, to be deployed in Lod and other places like Akko and other mixed towns. A number of companies of border police have also been called up from reserves. So there seems to be, from what I hear, sufficient forces now deployed. Also, our reporters, Bar Pelig and Josh Briner, who were in Lod last night, reported that the moment the news came through that the border police was on the way, the rioters melted away. So it seems that some degree of control may have returned last night to Lod. But the fact that for two nights running, this was happening and the police simply didn't have the forces or the attention, really, there is, you know, is something which will have to be looked into. The second massive blot on public security minister Amir Ohana's copybook after the Meron disaster just a couple of weeks ago. Mm. Another case in which Israeli police simply were looking the wrong way.
Mm. Angel, what happens next on the Gaza front? I'm sure our listeners remember the 2014 conflict, which lasted for 7 weeks and which took a terrible toll on both sides.
So we're now in day three of what the IDF is calling Operation Guardians of the Ramparts, and Hamas is calling, I think, something a Sword of Jerusalem. Mm. Big names, lots of PR besides this carnage. I mean, it's hard to talk about PR when people are actually dying on the ground, but there is such a massive element of what is happening here. Hamas have tried very successfully so far to wrest for themselves the mantle of the Guardians of Jerusalem. We haven't heard the Palestinian Authority saying anything. Mahmoud Abbas has been silent for all this time. And Hamas are now leading the struggle. But the thing is, Hamas don't seem to have an end game. As you mentioned, the last long confrontation, 2014, 51 days. From all we know, Hamas doesn't want to have another 50-day long confrontation. Everybody's talking that they're prepared for a long campaign. The same should be said about Israel. Netanyahu said last night that this will take a long time. But, you know, after Israel has emerged from a year of coronavirus lockdowns, I don't think anybody wants to spend the next month or two on a little war which will keep people at home and will create massive damage to the economy and keeps children away from the last month and a half of school. So both sides would really like to end it as soon as possible. But both sides need to make a point. Now, Hamas seems to have made its point, but every time it is another Israeli attack, they want to show that they can continue firing their rockets. Now, there's always an exit ramp from these confrontations. And the exit ramp is some form of ceasefire, brokered usually by the Egyptians or sometimes the Qataris' help, or the UN have even had involvement in this in the past. Right now, we're not hearing about any progress for any of these brokers about some kind of other ceasefire. We're not seeing it. You live near Tel Aviv, and how many times were you woken up last night by sirens? I mean, it was
too many to count.
Can Israel afford it to end it here when Hamas seems to have been so successful? I don't see Netanyahu ending it right now. And to be honest, nobody's pressuring him to end it right now. He's under more pressure to show that Israel can achieve a decisive blow on Hamas. But the problem is that as much firepower as Israel has from the air and guided missiles and drones and whatever is being used right now, there's a limit to what can be achieved in Gaza when Gaza is such a small, packed area and Israel is trying very hard not to cause too many civilian casualties. They don't want to go down the path of a ground offensive, which will cause many more casualties on both sides and just prolong the conflict. But the dynamic is there, and forces are being prepared for every eventuality. There are already battalions of the IDF in staging areas around Gaza for the possible ground offensive. But from everything we're hearing now, it doesn't seem that that's going to be on the cards in the next few days, at least.
Finally, Angel, what about the political process and the efforts to form a new government? Is Bibi still running the show, and for how long?
Well, it's a good question how much Bibi is running the show. He's obviously preoccupied by his political and legal issues. I mean, every day with the riots going on in Jerusalem, at the same time, literally a few hundred meters away from the clashes between police and Palestinians, the Jerusalem District Court has continued to hear the evidence in the corruption case against him. A week ago, Yair Lapid received the mandate instead of Netanyahu to form a new government. A week has gone. And just a couple of days ago, before all this kicked off, we were hearing from sources in the parties, in the new coalition, that they're almost ready to start openly presenting coalition agreements. And they were talking about even this week of presenting a new government. I thought at the time it was a bit optimistic, but now it almost seems impossible, especially because one of the crucial elements of the new coalition will be some kind of an agreement, probably with the United Arab List. And right now, the trust between Jews and Arabs in Israel doesn't seem to be at a place which would enable such a groundbreaking political deal. At the same time, this morning, sources in the parties are saying that they're still working on forming a coalition. They haven't given up. And Mansour Abbas said the same himself this morning. He said it on record with Cannes. He said that he's still interested in signing a coalition agreement, whatever government is going to be formed. So it's hard to say. Naftali Bennett put out a statement this morning saying that, politics aside, as long as it takes, he's going to give the government backing. At the same time, he said very harsh words about how the Netanyahu government has led Israel to disaster. So it doesn't sound like somebody who's about to sit in a Netanyahu government. Though, interestingly, another element of the new coalition, Benny Gantz, who's still defense minister, is currently working very closely with Netanyahu on this operation. And we saw them last night in the brief statements together at the press conference in the Prime Minister's office, Tel Aviv branch. So all these processes are still happening. The politicians are still working at forming a government. But right now, with Gaza in the flux and with Arabs and Jews fighting each other on the streets, it's impossible to predict if and when it can happen.
Well, I won't ask you to do that then. Angel, thanks as ever for your time.
Thank you, Simon. Hopefully we'll have some better news soon.
Amen. Thank you too to our producer, Aaron Ehrlich. We'll be back again on Sunday, hopefully not sooner, with another episode of Haaretz Weekly. Until then, shalom.